October? More like Rocktober. We hope your month is going well, and we thank you for spending a few minutes today with our show. I'm Carl Azus. First up, November 8th is the date for a big change in U.S. travel rules. Currently, people from Brazil, China, India, Iran, South Africa, and many parts of Europe are not allowed to enter the United States. These are areas that had high numbers of coronavirus cases, so the ban was implemented last year with the goal of slowing the spread of the disease. In 3 weeks, though, many people from those places and anywhere else in the world will be allowed to fly or cross a land border into the U.S. But the Biden administration says they have to be fully vaccinated against COVID. If they're not, they won't be allowed into America no matter where they're from. The types of vaccines the government will accept include those approved or authorized for emergency use by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the shots that have an emergency use listing from the World Health Organization. There's some confusion over whether the new rules will apply to children who aren't eligible for COVID vaccines. The White House has indicated that they would still need to be vaccinated. The Department of Homeland Security has said they wouldn't. And adults from other countries who have been fully vaccinated will still have to show a negative COVID test within 3 days of their flights to the U.S. Americans who are traveling abroad or back home will not be required to have had the vaccine, but they will have to show a negative COVID test within 1 day of their flight out and after they get home, though critics have said it's not clear how the government will enforce that. They're also concerned the new rules could still make America vulnerable to new variants of COVID. The Delta version of the disease, for example, can still be caught and spread by fully vaccinated people, and it made its way into the U.S. while stricter travel rules were still in place. An airline trade association and lobbying group says reopening international travel is good for economies, communities, and jobs. Some U.S. airports, like Denver International in Colorado, are seeing delays caused by worker shortages, and pilots from some U.S. airlines are expected to protest work and scheduling conditions in the weeks ahead, so all this could have an impact on travel as well. 10-second trivia. The island of Bali is part of what country? Philippines, Indonesia, Fiji, or the Solomon Islands? If you find yourself in Bali, you are in Indonesian territory. Like the economies of many beautiful islands, Bali's is heavily dependent on tourism, and it's easy to see why, in normal times, millions of people travel to the island every year, and hundreds of thousands of Balinese work in the tourism industry. But when that dried up in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, people started to go hungry. So a resident came up with a barter system that aims to address two problems. The need to eat with the need to clean up some of the plastic that's polluted the island. It's called Plastic Exchange, and its founder says it's helped feed 30,000 families over the past year and expanded to 200 villages. That is why Janur Yasa is a CNN hero.
In Bali, we really live in this a holistic way, people taking care of each other. We have a wisdom in Bali we call Trihita Karana, which is three ways to achieve happiness: dignity, prosperity, and then the environment. So when these three things are happening, that's how we reach the happiness. One of the things that I love to do in Bali is I go to the beach, I hike the mountain, I go to temple. And it's really break my heart when I see this plastic everywhere. Plastic pollution in Bali is a big, big problem because we don't have the habit yet on how to dispose, on how to handle the plastic after we use it. And I said to myself, I gotta do something about this. The majority of Bali economy has come from tourism. When the pandemic hit, a lot of businesses shut down. Restaurants, hotels, travel companies. So I see people losing their job. And this is concerning me. After 6 months into the pandemic, people really struggling. There is no income. The first thing that people need is food. I always like this phrase. Inside of the challenge, there is an opportunity. I just don't want to give. I don't want to just only one hand on the bottom, one hand on the top. I want to bring this hand together. In Bali, we call it Tatwamasi. The giver become a receiver, and the receiver become a giver. Rice in Bali is really like the main staples that people eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I thought to myself, if they bring plastic, I will give rice. So that's when the plastic exchange born. What I'm aiming for is to educate people through action. So the community collect and separate their plastic from their house. And then they go to the environments, they go to the rice paddy, they go to the beach, they go to the river. And then once a month, there is plastic exchange that's set up in that community. And people have fun with it, and people not feeling embarrassed about it. And now, after 1 year I do this, picking up plastic is a cool thing to do. I'm so happy to see this, empowering the community to do this for themselves, for the environment, and for their dignity. In a plastic exchange, people just get into it. The vibe is so high, the vibe is so vibrant. You can feel it. Old people, younger people, all different kind of age. So the villagers will receive the rice according to the type of the plastic they bring and the amount of plastic that they bring. We work with a company that collect this plastic and send it to Java for proper recycling, because we don't have recycling plant yet in Bali.
Sampai 2 ton pernah kita.
2 ton ya. Sukses.
Sadar masyarakat sudah mulai sadar dengan lingkungan plastiknya, akhirnya mereka sadar untuk pemakaian plastik itu setiap harinya.
Inilah buktinya sampah sudah berkurang.
Volume sampah sudah mulai berkurang dari program sebelumnya.
We educate people on how to separate the plastic and on the dangers of the plastic if they got into the environment. We buy the rice from the farmers, so we're really creating this circular economy, supporting the farmers, clean the environment, and feed the people in that community. My goal is to really spread this movement from island to island, to Asia and to the whole world. I want to inspire people that everything is possible. There is no small dream. If you believe and you do it with the community, and you will succeed.
If you've ever thought, how many tennis balls can a dog hold in its mouth at one time? There is a Guinness World Record for that. The answer is 6. This is Finley. He lives in New York and loves to do lots of normal doggy things, but his owner says that during games of fetch, Finley wouldn't just get the ball, he would hold it in his mouth and wait for another one to be thrown so he could carry that one too. He'd eventually bring back 6 at a time, so his family applied for and recently received the world record. Or should we say they retrieved it? You could also say they fetched it, that it was a golden opportunity, that they were barking up the right tree, that it made the implausible somewhat plausible. All that's quite a mouthful. But we would argue it rates more than a K9 out of 10, more like a perfect 10 out of 10. I'm Carl Azuz. To our viewers at Beverly Hills High School, thank you for watching from Los Angeles, California. We hope to see you tomorrow for more CNN.